A New Beginning, Part 3. This is the first time I've had two titles to a message. We could call this A Place of Refuge or A Warning to Shepherds. You can decide for yourself which to call it. Last week, I read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, where David expressed his heart's desire to build a temple for the Lord. And what followed from God was great blessing and wonderful promises. David had it in his heart to build God's house, and God in turn built David's house. But there were some verses there that I did not read, and I want to go back to them. This is what I read, beginning with verse 8. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. That's what I read last week. But there's something else God said that is very important and very relevant. Verse 10, God said, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. Two things here, two very important things for everyone who serves in the care of God's people. First, just look at what was in the mind and the heart of God. And one of the primary reasons God gave David his position of authority. I will provide a place for my people. A place of their own. A place where they belong. A place of refuge. Throughout the scriptures, you see that theme. God providing a place for his people. He provided a garden for Adam and Eve. They got kicked out of it because of their sin, but he never gave up on his beloved people, no matter how far they roamed. He provided a place for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the land of Canaan. Then he provided a place of refuge in Egypt when there was famine and hunger everywhere else. Then when Egypt became a place of slavery and oppression for them, he brought them out and planted them back in the land of Canaan. Then they were exiled into Assyria and to Babylon. But God always had it in his heart to provide a place for his people, a place of refuge. What is it we call the room we worship in? We call it the sanctuary. To my mind, there are two main meanings to that word sanctuary. One has to do with the presence of God. It has to do with holiness. A sanctuary is a holy place. Holiness, purity, specialness. If something is holy, it means it is set apart, the very opposite of common. A sanctuary is a holy place because it is there that the manifest presence of the holy God resides. It's the presence of the living God. So there is reverence in that, but it's not a reverence of terror. Comparing Christian worship to the days of Moses, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 says, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. And verse 21, the sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's a reverence with terror. But reading on, verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly." Joyful assembly. So it's a reverence of wonder and joy and delight. So that's part of the meaning of sanctuary. But the other part of sanctuary is that of refuge. And that is perfect because where the presence of God is, there is refuge. We just read that God said to David he was going to prepare a place for his people where they would no longer be disturbed. Why were they disturbed? Well, the next verse tells us. God says, "Wicked people will not oppress them anymore." The leaders of God's people were oppressing them and taking advantage of them. Political leaders, religious leaders, they oppressed God's people. And what God is describing has happened in every generation. In Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees who were the oppressors. Jesus said to them in Luke 11:46, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load down people with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." In the days of Martin Luther, there probably would never have been a Reformation if the Catholic Church at that time hadn't been oppressing the people. Every generation has its oppressors. And we well know of abuses of authority in churches in our own generation, because a little authority and it goes to our heads. But let us all who serve God's people be warned by this. Something God spoke to Ezekiel in chapter 34 of his book, starting with verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally, so they are scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." Then verse 11, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, 'I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land.'" Verse 15, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice." So here is God's heart for his flock. They've been abused by bullying shepherds, but God has a plan to bring them out from the places that they've been scattered and bring them to a place of their own, a place of refuge. And God is still providing a place of refuge for his people. It's called church. At least, that's what a church should be. Then he says, verse 23, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And when God is saying that David will shepherd them, he's speaking figuratively. He's really speaking of David's descendant, Jesus, who would be for all God's people what King David was for ancient Israel. David was a refuge and a shelter for ancient Israel. He was their protector, their champion, their defender. He enlarged their borders and brought them peace and prosperity and made them dwell in safety. Jesus is the son of David, for David's very DNA was passed on to Jesus through his mother Mary. David was their beloved, their great and glorious king, and Jesus is all that and more for us. Our King, our Lord, our protector and defender, our peace, our Savior, our gentle shepherd, our shelter in a time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may around me beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.